Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. I'm Ali Selby, and today we are talking regulation and big tech, with Google already penning deals with the likes of Seven and Nine. It has the world's eyes on Australia as the government moves to implement new legislation which could really reset the playing field for the likes of news companies and tech companies down under. But what does this mean for investors? Well, I'm joined by Vihari Ross from Magellan and Chris DeMassi from Montaka to find out. First up, I really would like to know a little bit more about this legislation and, you know, what it could mean for investors.
Well, to tell you the truth, Ali, I think for global investors directly, it's not a big deal. Quite frankly, you know, Australia's quite a small market for investors in Facebook and for investors in Google. But I think that the broader concern was that there'd be implications in other jurisdictions.
Mm. Do you agree, Vihari?
Yeah, look, yes and no. I think, you know, yes, Australia is maybe, you know, at best 5% of Google's revenues. You know, this is something that's been going on for, you know, a number of years and the negotiations been going on. Ultimately, when there's been regulation around the world and if it's been reasonable and sensible from Google or Facebook's point of view, they've actually towed the line. Here, they say that this is unworkable for them and potentially creates a dangerous precedent for them in other parts of the world. And obviously, the rest of the world's eyes are on what Australia is doing. Is it immaterial to Google? Are they likely to simply exit news here rather than give up search or give up the revenue stream altogether? Yes, that's what I think that'll happen. But whether it's actually irrelevant, I think it's yet to be determined.
What would happen if, you know, other countries followed Australia's lead? Like, what do you see as the implications of this legislation spreading around the world?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, regulation is, you know, part and parcel of tech investment, particularly on the global sphere. These guys are looking at, you know, what Australia is doing. But at the moment, the situation with Google is, are they actually able to remove news-based content from their search? You know, only 1% of their search results actually are news-based content. And they themselves say they only make $10 million in Australia, you know, globally, of all their global revenues from news-based, you know, ad clicks. Mm. So I think, you know, is it material in and of itself? All this code potentially does is enable a negotiation between Google and between the news media. Mm. I think the interesting thing here is Google has provided a platform for not only big news companies but also small players to get visibility and get distribution out there.
Do you think, Chris, that maybe this is the windfall that publishers have needed? I mean, advertising has just been cascading down a slippery slope for many years now.
Ali, I think the news publishers need a lot more than some of these $30 million deals that have recently been cut. That's just not going to be enough to turn the tides for these businesses. They really missed the digitalization of their industry, the change in consumer behaviors, and their business models have become obsolete. So I don't think, you know, 10, 20 or $30 million here or there is actually going to change the fortunes of the news publishers here in Australia or overseas.
Mm, yeah. Do you see this, I mean, extending to other industries as well? Like, could Google eventually have to pay for links to other types of content?
I don't see it going that way. Quite frankly, I think that other industries derive a lot of value from the advertising services that Google and Facebook offer. You know, we saw that like no other time before in 2020, when businesses were forced to turn to digitalize their operations, to turn to digital advertising to really connect with consumers. And it was Facebook and Google and their advertising businesses that really, really stood up and enabled small and medium businesses to do that across so many different industries.
Bahari, do you agree? Is it a case of like us needing Google just as much as they need us?
Yeah, look, I think that that's why I think that negotiating point is a really important one, because it enables Google to actually put forward the value that they're adding to the party, to the decision as well. I think, you know, the point that Chris raises is really relevant here. You know, the news media are not making less money because of Google. You know, the reason that their advertising revenues have fallen so dramatically over a number of years is largely because of this classified advertising that's moved. You know, it's the realestate.coms, it's the carsales.com, it's the domains. These people have taken, you know, previously that journalist sort of income was being, you know, subsidised essentially by that advertising, you know, classified revenue. Yeah. What Google has done has actually opened up, as Chris said, to these small and medium sized enterprises that now have an opportunity to advertise. So they've grown that advertising market dramatically. So I think, yes, do we need Google and Facebook? In many ways, of course, we do, and a lot of small businesses certainly do. Mm. But at the same time, you know, Google and Facebook are providing a service, and the reason the eyeballs have gone there is because of a good user experience. It, you know, it hasn't been forced upon us to use these platforms. And so they ultimately do want to continue in that vein. They want people to continue to use their product and find it useful to them. So I think you have seen, you know, in Europe you had GDPR legislation. You know, they towed the line on things like that, and things that have happened in other parts of the world, again, it's made sense for them. And the reason they're sort of maybe digging their heels in here is because they've made their position untenable. And I think, you know, yes, we're going to find out how it plays out in the next, you know, few weeks potentially.
Yeah. You know, this isn't really unique to Australia. Both of you guys still hold Alibaba, though. I was just wondering if that this kind of changing environment has changed your outlook on that company.
Yeah, look, I think when it comes to regulation in China, there's two key components from my point of view. The first is the, you know, the pulling of the anti-IPO. The implications there are, you know, this is a business that is a, you know, ubiquitous and very relevant, you know, to the middle class in China. You know, does it make sense ultimately to for this business to hold some incremental regulatory capital like every other financial business in the world does, and, you know, potentially face a bit of extra regulatory oversight, much like a financial institution elsewhere? That seems sensible to us and, you know, highly likely to, you know, go ahead. The other component, of course, is the antitrust legislation. I think the only difference in China, of course, with the CCP, is the fact that they can make change happen and they can enforce the change in a far more fast and effective way than maybe, you know, Europe does it, you know, incrementally and in, you know, in a piecemeal fashion. You know, ultimately, what we're dealing here with in Alibaba's case is maybe there's an incremental cost to the business around, you know, that regulatory impost. But at the same time, you have a business that's remarkably well positioned and continues to be around, you know, growth in the Chinese consumer, growth in the cloud, and then financial services, among other things as well. So this continues to be, you know, a buy from our point of view.
Yeah. What would have to change for you, Chris, for you to have to sell Alibaba?
I think what we'd have to see is a dramatic slowdown in their core business. And Vahari was talking a little bit about that, and specifically around Tmall and Taobao, which are their two giant online marketplaces. And they're growing 20 to 30% per annum still. And it's, you know, they're tremendously valuable to the Chinese economy.
So there's no kind of like fears over regulation that would make you sell?
No, I think at the moment our lens on regulation is that both the regulators and Alibaba can come to a situation which is really win-win. And so the language that came out in those guidelines from the market regulator was probably more lenient than people expected. And I think we've also heard as recently as the last Alibaba conference call that their CEO spoke about being very cooperative, setting up internal task forces, and really being willing to collaborate with the government, both parties recognising just how important Alibaba is to the Chinese economy and Chinese society, and how much money they're investing behind innovation and really advancing China's technological ambitions.
Mm. There's also antitrust cases going on in Europe and the US. I mean, is this kind of, is regulation a risk that active investors should really consider?
Absolutely, you know, is my short answer. You know, any investor, you know, in the tech space, you know, would certainly be very much, you know, familiar with, you know, regulation as sort of a key risk. You know, you're seeing, you know, I think the key implication for a lot of these companies, certainly in the Western world, is, you know, their ability to make acquisitions has been curbed. You know, would, you know, an Instagram / WhatsApp type acquisition be allowed going forward? I don't think so.
Does it kind of curb these companies' ability to innovate and grow then?
No, I think, what it does is, you know, I think these are among the most innovative companies in the world. You know, they've changed the way that we've lived our lives, you know, in many positive ways. And I think, you know, a lot of these investments that Google makes simply through the sheer free cash flow that this business generates is going to change our lives in the next 10 and 20 years again, you know, through their healthcare-based initiatives, through driverless car technology, through artificial intelligence. And it's sort of the same as we discussed in the Chinese example. There is genuine interest in these businesses being successful in those ventures over time. Like, I think they continue to be, you know, remarkably innovative. But I do think their ability to, you know, buy competitors or potential competitors, you know, is thwarted by regulation, unsurprisingly now.
Yeah. Do you agree, Chris?
I absolutely think it's, as active investors, you need to consider the implications of regulation. But we also need to unpack that a little bit as well. So there's a few components as we think through regulation, and it's, you know, our starting point really when it comes to antitrust regulation is there being harm done to the consumer? And when there's been trillions of dollars of value created in an economy, and these platforms are just becoming so important and ubiquitous in our lives, all free of charge from Google and from Facebook, it's really hard to argue that the consumer is suffering there. So that's kind of the starting point. Next, you've got to think about the timeline to regulation. So, you know, the Google case, Google's antitrust case is set for 2023, and there's a whole judgment and then possibly appeal process that's going to come after that. It leads us to believe that there's probably going to be a settlement in between. And then beyond that, you've got to really think about what are the sorts of regulatory changes and activity or actions that will take place. And, you know, we've seen time and time again, when it comes to financial penalties, they're relatively small in the context of the size of these companies. But I think when you break it all down, the likelihood of there being significant change that's going to impair the enormous long-term value that's ahead for both of these companies is not going to eventuate, and there is just such substantial growth opportunities in front of them.
Well, that's all we have time for today. If you've enjoyed this episode of Buy, Hold, Sell, why not give it a like? Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss an episode.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.